Hello, everyone. Happy, is it Father's Day? Oh, Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. We have, they even have music behind. Don't worry, I'm not singing. Let's not get excited here. Let's not get too crazy. How's everyone doing today? Good. Silent. Good. There's so much chocolate over there. There's no way we're in sugar coma yet. So make sure before you go, there's all kinds of gifts. We got an awesome photo area, a sign that you can run through. Like if you remember high school, if you played sports, you ran through signs. Feel free to take pictures, do all those things. But we always want to say Happy Mother's Day. Because here's the thing. All of us have a few things in common. Whether we are, like we have a few things in common. It may not seem that way in the world that we're in right now, but we have a few things in common. And one of those things is all of us have a mother. Like, you wouldn't be living and breathing right here if you didn't have a mother. So today, just make sure you love a mother well today. Maybe your mother's not here. Maybe I'm not a mother. I can't be, even though science now makes people may say that I can't be. But make sure that you tell a mother you love them today and you're thankful for them, because there's not a better picture of Jesus than the love of a mother. Because a mother was your voice before you had one. A mother cared for you before she saw your face. And a mother literally did everything for you. Like, you lived rent-free in your mom for at least 9 months. So just think about that. If nothing else, your mom loves you. Even if you were born early, your mom loves you. So make sure that you let your mother know that she is loved today, wherever you are. And so, realistically, really quick, as we're getting ready, we've been in this series called Esther. Wherever you're watching around the world or tuning in right now, as we have folks listening and watching all over the place. This week's been a crazy week, always. You may be tuning in to say, hey, what in the world does the church say about a ruling or a politician or anything like that? So I'm just going to get it out here, and I'm just going to say this. What am I going to say? What does Jesus say? He says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's all I got to say. John 10:10. Ask him about the rest. Because a politician ain't going to save me. A Supreme Court ruling ain't going to save me. A government ain't going to save me. A Tesla ain't going to save me. None of those things are going to save me. Only Jesus can save me. So if you want to know my stance, you want to know our church's stance, read John 10:10. And you say, well, what about all these different things? Ask Jesus. He's going to tell you better than I ever could. Lean into him. But I will tell you, as a someone who is here, really quickly, I would be remiss if I didn't say it. I'm a walking miracle. Believe it, though, you are too. If you're breathing right now, you are a miracle. For me, I was born of a mother who was told she could never have kids and carry them to full term. I also, like losing my dad to a drunk driver, I should statistically be in jail, addicted to something, dead, or have killed someone right now. So I'm a living, breathing, walking miracle, and it's only by the grace of God for that. You are too. You know why? Because the odds of you taking your first breath would be the same odds as you taking your spare tire off your car, throwing it into the Pacific Ocean, and a sea turtle coming up through the middle of it. That is the actual statistical chance you have to take your first breath. How crazy is that? So you are a living, breathing, walking miracle as well. So wherever you are today, this miracle that is today, this miracle that Jesus has allowed us to be in, love a mother well, and know that she points to Jesus. Just because you may say, you don't know about my relationship with my mom, you don't know how broken that is, I will tell you, listen, you never know how long you get with them. Make it right. Make it right today. I'm just going to be honest with you. Make it right today. It's not worth the aftermath and the guilt and shame you have to deal with afterwards. Trust me, it's just not. So you want to go ahead and mend that the way that you can today, okay? Whatever that looks like. So that's all I got to say. That's the womp of Mother's Day. But it's also, hey, like, you know, I don't talk about politics here. We can talk off of this moment here where I am about politics or anything going on, because like I said, it's not my salvation. It's not yours either. Lean into Jesus. He's going to tell you what should be happening. He's going to tell you what's right and what's wrong. He's going to tell you, hey, what's sin and what's not sin. And I can sit here and I could scream at you all day about what I believe, but it will not matter in the end, because what Tyler West believes ain't going to get you into heaven. It's what you believe. And what your faith is, and who you say Jesus is, okay? So, if you got your Bible today, we've been in this series called Esther, so we'd love for you to hang with us in there. We've been in this series, and what Esther is about is, believe it or not, the name of God's not really even mentioned. Like, God seems silent, God seems distant. His people are actually in Persian captivity now. They have those really cool rugs. They were making some rugs, you know, in Persian captivity, wherever you are right now. They were in Persian captivity, what happens is, we've met the main characters in Esther 1 and 2, and these crazy cool guys are showing up. We have Xerxes and Esther, and Haman is about to show up, is his name. We have Mordecai. And just so you know, as a frame of reference, maybe you're like, hey, man, I don't even know anything about the Bible. I only see it as a historical book. I've never heard of this person named Esther. I had an aunt named Esther, maybe, or a grandmother named Esther. I don't know. It was on my ancestry line. Just so you know, a frame of reference, just a reminder every week, this is in the time of 300. Everybody get their little kick out. I can't do it this week. I know I did it the other week, but I'm hurt. So the Battle of Thermopylae, like Sparta, like this is when the book of Esther is written during this time, all right? This is the Xerxes from there, the same King Xerxes. So what we walk through in this series, and moms, you're going to see this today, I'm going to share my motherly advice. I'm going to talk to you and say thank you, moms. I want to share some things that we're going to learn from Esther today. But I will say, all the way through, what the book of Esther is about is how even when God seems silent, he's at work all around us. And he works through the most unlikely people and the most unlikeliest of seasons to accomplish his will for his glory and for our good. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to be in Esther. And where we're going to be walking through today is the request. The request. So, got your Bible, go ahead and cut it in half. When you open it up, if you have one, you're going to land in Psalms. Flip left a little bit, you'll run into Esther. If you don't have a Bible, we have them free for the asking. Over there at our wonderful lush garden that we have so many plants this week, for real. I don't have to act and say, we have a lush garden over there. Or maybe you like to take notes digitally, you can do it today on our Vine Church app. Go to the vine.tv/app. And you can download that today. It'll ask for your phone number. We're in some trying times, so it'll also ask for the last four of your social, your grandmother's maiden name, your mother's maiden name, and the name of your first pet. Maybe your first car that you drove. I don't know. Some, it really won't. We don't do that. But it will send you a direct link to download the app. But also, I love our Vine production team. They're going to make sure it's on the screen wherever you're watching today. So if you're with me, give me an amen. All right, I hear amens. All right, we're in the request. We're in Esther 7. We've been in Esther 1. Esther. We've been in Esther 1 and Esther 2. We've met everybody. Where we're going to be in Esther 7, basically what ends up happening is, remember, Esther's cousin Mordecai adopts her. Esther is basically an orphan. Her mother and father passes away, and her cousin Mordecai takes her in, raises her up, and Esther has become queen. All right, like she's singing, she's not the Queen of Sheba or whatever, you know, she's singing Whitney Houston doing something crazy. I don't know, she's the queen, right? Like she's the queen. And who better to celebrate than moms on Mother's Day as the queen, right? So Esther becomes queen, but what ends up happening is this guy named Haman shows up, and he's like the second in charge. He gets vaulted into status. Xerxes is like, hey, man, you're my right-hand guy. Like, when I go, you're the one I'm putting in charge of everything, right? So Haman comes along, and Mordecai's at the gate, and Haman says, you should bow down to me. That's what he's telling Mordecai. So basically, you know how we stand up when somebody, like when the bride walks in the room or whenever we have a wedding or, you know, or somebody is at attention. We used to, it's not as much of a custom now, but it used to be whenever a lady walked in, everyone would stand up at the table and then sit down. We don't kind of do that. So the custom was here that you were supposed to respect the nobility, like respect them. Mordecai didn't do that. He wouldn't bow down to him. So Haman gets mad. So mad, he goes to Xerxes and says, hey, I tell you what, if you will write a law that says I can annihilate all the Jews within the next 11 months, I will bring a half a year's taxes for the entire kingdom into the treasury. Now think about that. We all love taxes, don't we? Imagine if somebody says, hey, if you just do this one thing, I will give you the entire kingdom, the entire, all of Persia's taxes for half a year. Like, I'll give you all of the United States taxes paid for half a year if you'll just do this one thing for me. Most of us are just like, all right, I mean, I'd do it for a quarter of that. You know, like we're starting to negotiate and we're bargaining down. That's what happens. So Xerxes says, yes, you can have it, seals it with his ring and the Medes and the Persians so it can't be revoked. Just like Queen Vashti was deposed, could it be devoted? It led to Esther. And that's where we're going to pick up this story. We're going to start in Esther 4 a little bit, one verse, and then we're going to spend our time in Esther 7. But what ends up happening is Esther, remember, she's an undercover Jew. She's undercover. She's keeping it silent. She may be keeping all of the festivals. She may be praying. She may be keeping the Sabbath. But it's all behind closed doors. Because Mordecai said, you cannot tell the king who you are. You cannot tell him about your heritage. Because for sure he'll kill you. Well, here we go. He signed an order to kill all the Jews. And so Mordecai goes to Esther and says, hey, if you don't speak up, God will deliver the nation of Israel from somewhere. But you will die. And she's like, well, I'll die if I go before the king. And he was like, yep, you're going to either die by being delivered somewhere else when they find out, or you're going to die and go before the king and intercede. And this is Esther's response in Esther 4:16, really quickly, before we go to Esther 7. She tells Mordecai this, go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. So, all of a sudden, Esther now is no longer privately a Christian. She's publicly a Christian because she was placed in a time such as this. And church, if you're living, breathing, watching, we were made for a time such as this. This is the time we were made for, or else we wouldn't be here. So now Esther's like, hey, I can't give anything but my life to do this, so I will do it. And so she willingly went, and she's about to go before the king. She's stepping fully into who she was created to be. No longer does she have to do things behind closed doors. No longer is she praying behind closed doors. She's got to go to the king, even if it cost her life. And I just want to tell you, church, that's a picture of a mom. It's really a picture of Jesus, but it's really a picture of a mom. It's a picture of a mother. She's willing to give her life so that her child can have life. Like, before she even meets her child, she's willing to give her life for that. That is a picture of a mother. That's a picture of a mother. And as that child grows, that's a picture of a mother. Before you were known, before we were known, our mother was praying for us, our mother was caring for us, our mother was willing to give her last breath for us, period. Moms, you know that. If you have children, whether you say, well, whether I birthed my children or whether I didn't, it doesn't matter. You would give your last breath for that child. That is where Esther is. She's willing to give her last breath for her people to be saved, her family to be saved. So that's where she is. So here's where I would say for each and every one of us that's so important is Esther is in this space and place where she has still been obedient. She's still been really quiet. She's still been really humble. And what I love about what we're going to go into today is there's a moment where God tells us to step out in faith, and we got to boldly do it, even if it cost us. And that's where we are, church. This is our opportunity. The world is, seriously, like I know I started with it, and I'll say it again. Look to Jesus. He's going to tell you what the right answer is, period. Lean into him. He's not afraid of your questions. He's definitely not. He's good enough to answer them in his time and good enough to walk with you through them. So right now, everyone's a court decision. It's like it's the end all be all. You know what? That court decision don't put gas in my car. So, I mean, I hate to say, but like, it's not my salvation, is it? Like, it's not my salvation. Is a political party? Is a bank account number? Shoot, is a grocery store shelf my salvation? Now, if y'all take toilet paper away, we got issues. But like, wherever you are, if you know, you know. Like, we're going to be real. But like, you know, like, those aren't my salvation. Christ is. So that's where Esther is. And so what I want to tell you, wherever you are right now, mothers, here's a little bit I would say, just really quickly before we move on to Esther 7. I hope that you can be encouraged today, is this. I just want to remind you, God doesn't have any grandchildren. In Christ, we're all his children. Listen, parents, God never gave up ownership of your child when that child was born. He gave you stewardship of it. It's your job to train and equip them to hunger and thirst for the Lord, to be all they were created to be. Whether they do it or not isn't your decision. As much as you want it, it's not. But here's what I will tell you, parents. Your child will carry on, believe it or not, the good things of you more than you know. The things that you taught them. It is true. Train up a child in the way they should go, and they will not depart from it. Now, we think, oh, well, you don't know my kid. They've ran astray. They've ran amok. And I will tell you, so did the prodigal son. And the father's still sitting there waiting with open arms. This is why I'm sharing this with you. So this jacket, my mom's favorite picture of my dad was a suit in this color. My mom's favorite color was purple. So if you see a purple and blue, I don't care what the rest of me looks like. I'm wearing this for my mom. It's Mother's Day. I'm honoring my mother that way. That's how it goes. But I will tell you, my mother grew up. My grandmother passed away. Just the first Mother's Day. My uncle's been without his mother, long story short. But she kind of wrote letters. And one of the things she wrote was, hey, give everything you have to the church because it's the only thing that matters. And I didn't open that until she passed away. It was something she wanted everybody to open after she was gone. She wrote that like in 95 or something, like a long, long time ago, right? Long before. Where am I getting? What you teach your child and how you train them and help them and equip them, they'll carry with them. So don't beat yourself up about the mistakes you make, because they're not born with a manual. We know that. And if it was a manual, I'm messed up, because some people here know more than ever. I can't find the brake release, but I can find the hood release like nobody's business. I can find your hood latch. So even when a manual can be involved, I still screw up. So I want you mothers to know, hey, there should be some freedom today. Even in the mess ups, even in the wins, they're God's child. So it's up to him. Doesn't mean that you sit back and aren't involved. It just means, hey, they're his child. You can rest in knowing that. And that's freedom. Doesn't make it easy, because you want a nap today. I know. So it's okay. Like, God gave us Benadryl too. See, that's why I'm not a parent, because I mean, I'm just saying, like, I know if mama needs a nap, there's going to be some chocolate with some Benadryl in it. Hey, you put, hey, for real, y'all laugh. You put stuff in your dog's cheese and sliced cheese to give it pills. Don't tell me you don't want to put a little something in there for the kid to have a nice little nap today. Their allergies were messed up. Yeah, I know. You wanted a nap. It's all right. Don't lie. It's okay. So let's go on to Esther 7, where we are. Esther 7. So Esther is now gone. She's willing to intercede for a freedom for her people that she may not see herself. We're going to learn about the difference in the request and a petition she makes here. A freedom she may not see herself, and a people that may never appreciate it. Okay? So Esther 7. So if you'll get to Esther 7 really quick. Esther 7, verse 1 through 4. So the king, that is Xerxes, the big Xerxes guy that goes in and Thermopylae, all that crazy good stuff. The king and Haman went into Queen Esther's banquet. So to set this up, Esther has kind of been talking to the king. She knows he loves banquets. He says, what is your request? Because he allows her to come into his presence. And she says, let me throw you a banquet and show up with this guy named Haman. Little does the king know that she's Jewish. So think about this. Think about the times. He's married to her and he doesn't even really know his wife. See, marriage was never meant to be people who don't know each other. It's about you knowing each other and being fully known. Because the heartache usually happens when somebody doesn't know something about the other, right? Like, that is where it is. He doesn't even know this about Esther. So they go to Queen Esther's banquet, and as they were drinking wine on the second day, the king asked, Queen Esther, what is your petition? It will be given to you. What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted. So today, when you get home, husbands, wife, you can take a nap, and up, mom, you can take a nap up to half the house. It's all yours. Everybody up. See, that's why I'm not married. There's no pastor joke, didn't even land. So it doesn't matter. So up to half the kingdom. You're going to remind me John the Baptist had the same thing and his head got chopped off. So yeah, we know. So whenever that request comes up, it's not a good thing. Half the kingdom and it will be granted. Then Queen Esther answered, if I have found favor with you, your majesty, and if it pleases you, grant me my life. This is my petition. And spare my people. This is my request. So before we go on into 4 really quick, there's two different things that happen here. Her petition is, spare my life if you will. But the request I have for you, king, is to save my people first. So Esther now, when she says, really, if I perish, I perish. She's saying, hey, my petition to you, king, is if I can be saved, let me be saved. But if not, I will willingly give my life for my people to be saved. What a picture of Jesus. Willingly do that. Verse 4, for I and my people have been sold to be destroyed, killed, and annihilated. If we had merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet. But because no such distress would justify disturbing the king. So what ends up happening is now Esther's outed. She's known. What's the king going to do about it? She says, hey, there's a list of names, all the people, we call it doxed now, right? Like all the people, every Jew in the kingdom was told, you will be killed by this date. So obviously you want to run, you want to do those things. We know that as the Holocaust now, like as we have it here, same thing was happening at this moment in time. But Esther basically grabs that piece of paper where everyone was doxed and saw her name wasn't on the list, and she wrote her name on it and said, if you're going after them, you're going to come after me. She's stepping forward, being who she was created to be. And ironically, she was sold to be a slave into the Persian Empire when they went into Babylonian captivity. Yet she says, hey, if this was just about being sold to be a slave, I wouldn't have brought it up, O king, because it wouldn't have really mattered. We've been through that. Because to her, remember, they were in Egyptian slavery. They were in captivity before they were in Babylonian captivity. She was like, hey, we're kind of used to that kind of thing. What I'm trying to do is spare my people. So, parents, I want you to know what good you instill in your children's carried on. Because here's the thing. Esther's mother and father never would have known she was going to become queen. They would have never known that she would have taken her stand. But instead, because she hungered and thirsted for the Lord, Mordecai kind of told her to keep quiet. If you've talked with me off camera, I'm not a big fan of Mordecai. I'm sorry, I'm just not. We're going to find he's about to... He kept telling Esther to hide her identity and who she was created to be. And this world will do the same thing. It'll tell you to hide behind a filter. It'll tell you to hide behind a home address, hide behind a career, hide behind an expensive receipt called a college degree, hide behind all of these things for your worth and your purpose. But instead, Esther steps into being who God created her to be, and now she goes to the king, and it's actually going to be an intercession for her and her people. Verse 5 through 7 says this, King Xerxes asked Queen Esther, who is he? Where is he? The man who dared to do such a thing. So, you're at this banquet, so just imagine, you're at this banquet. There are three seats at this table. Haman, Esther, and the king. And they're having this conversation, and Haman has to be putting two and two together. Like, there's something going on with Haman. Like, he's got to start to put things together. And the king says, who is this enemy? Who is this man? As every husband would be enraged, who's trying to kill my wife? Like, I'm going to go find him. Like, it's better than taken. Like, Leah, you know, you've got special skills. You're going to try to find this person, right? Like, who's trying to kill my wife? Who is he? And I imagine, like, the beat dropped right there, like, when you say somebody's soul left him, Haman's soul had to leave him at that moment. Like, he knows. So Esther goes and she points and says, an adversary and an enemy, this vile Haman. Then Haman was terrified before the king and queen. The king got up in a rage, left his wine, went out into the palace garden. But Haman, realizing the king had already decided his fate, stayed behind to beg Queen Esther for his life. So look at this. The very life he was trying to take is the very person he was begging to save his. Does that not look like Jesus? Like, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. The very one our sin screams crucify for is the very one that we get to receive our life from. See, all the way through, you look at this story. It's really, really crazy because Xerxes, you would think, man, Xerxes is virtuous now. But I will tell you, Xerxes isn't. See, the reason he leaves in a fury, remember the last time we saw Xerxes, he sealed something with a ring. It wasn't Haman's edict. It was that Queen Vashti could no longer be Queen Vashti because she wouldn't stand in front of him with just her crown on. And the law of the Persians and Medes couldn't be revoked. So now all of a sudden that Haman has been pointed out, the second in charge, it's like the vice president is evil. Like, it's that one. Like, that's it. And it's like, oh my goodness. So now he is stuck. He's like, what am I supposed to do? I can't revoke the law. Where he is at this moment in time, he's already lost in Thermopylae. He's actually lost all of Greece. He went to go and span the empire to go into Greece, and Greece defeats them. The Athenians and Spartans get together. Their navy goes, defeats Xerxes. So now he is in retreat back home. And now he's like, I've already got one disappointment. I've already deposed one queen. Now, within 10 years, am I going to depose another? I can't do this. Now, what am I going to do about Haman? I can't go in front of everybody and tell him that I signed into law something that this idiot did. So he leaves fuming in a rage, trying to figure out what to do about Haman. So here's where I want to tell you. This is hopefully some encouragement. Maybe not. We'll find out. But parents, I want to let you know this. And you know this, but I want to remind you of this, moms specifically. You aren't responsible for your child's choices, especially when they're out of your house. You just got to train and equip them. We live in a season, and this is why I'm telling you this. In our culture, a lot of times when folks struggle with addiction, who do you blame first? The mom and dad, their home. And I just want to tell you, as the prodigal son in Luke 15, if you ever read that, as the prodigal son talks about, you can raise your child right, you can bring them to church all the time, You can point them to Jesus in all that you do, but they're still going to make mistakes. And they're still going to mess up. And yes, you're still going to love them. And yes, sometimes you got to have those hard choices. And sometimes you got to love them hard, and you got to love them the hard way. But I just want to let you know, in the end, you can't save them. How freeing is that? That's up to Jesus to do. But secondly, you can't be responsible for all their choices. You can only train and equip them and prepare them for it. Haman has to take responsibility for his choice. It wasn't his mother and father's issue that he had this thing. Xerxes, he has to be responsible for his choices. Esther has to be responsible for her choices. Like, it didn't go about and Esther go running. What if Haman said, well, it was this person's fault. Like, they made me do it. Like, you know, as you do when you're a child. No. There's a moment in time where you're not a child anymore. So parents, what I want to tell you, and moms and dads and church, the freeing thing I want us to say and be is this. People mess up. That's what sin is. We all do. I started by saying we have some things in common in the beginning. We have a mom. We have a dad. Because, hey, regardless of technology, it takes what a man has and what a woman has for a baby to be here. I don't care what you say. Like, you could either that or it is some, like, we won't. It's like a goat, pig, cowish child or something. I don't know. It's like some weird conglomeration of things that we don't even want to talk about, right? Like, it takes that. So all of us have that. So what I'm trying to say and where I'm going with that is the freedom is, church, so many times a child can come from the best home and still be the prodigal son and run away. And we just have to continue to be the place where all have a place, where all are welcome, and we point to Jesus in all that we do. So right now, maybe that's where you are, Mom. I don't know where you're listening. I don't know where you are, but maybe your child is in the prodigal stage, and they're out, and they're out there doing some crazy stuff, making decisions and choices that you know you didn't raise them to do. But I want to say this. Does your love for them change? It doesn't. That's the love of Jesus. It points to Jesus. That's where you are. And I hope you understand that Haman is in this moment like, yes, everything is about to stop. Xerxes is in this crazy moment. His love is love of himself. He's trying to figure out what in the world to do. How do I revoke this law that's irrevocable? How do I do this? How do I break this covenant that's not supposed to be broken? How can I do this? Like, what can I do? So what he ends up doing is he leaves in a rage to go try to scheme up a way to get rid of Haman. But also the reason Xerxes is really mad is an attack on the queen is an attack on the king. So when he reverses this law, it's not to save the Jews. It's because of his Jewish queen that they are saved. It's because someone interceded for the Jewish nation, and an attack on Queen Esther was an attack on the king. Looks like our salvation, doesn't it? Attack on the son is an attack on the father. And yet he still willingly goes to the cross for us. So, parents, decisions, say all that good stuff. So I say all that, lighthearted moment, heavy right now. This is why I don't speak on Mother's Day a lot, all right? I've only mothered 7 children. I'm just kidding. I'm 0 children. Praise God. Like, y'all, if I had a kid, y'all would swear it was the Antichrist. I know that is what it is right now. So all of that to say, because it's going to take all my bad stuff, and there's a lot of bad stuff in there. So, and if Jesus can save me, he can save you. So where we're going to go with that, I want you to know, so today when you're trying to decide for lunch, there are going to be some bad decisions that are made, y'all. I'm just going to let you know, and some long wait times if it's not at home. Don't be mad at each other and take it out on your kids. So there we go. Esther 7, 8 through 10. Just as the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet hall, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was reclining. The king exclaimed, "Will he even molest the queen while she is in the house?" As soon as the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. What is this cool name? Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs, attended the king, said, "A pole reaching a height of 50 cubits stands by Haman's house. He had set it up for Mordecai, who spoke up to help the king. The king said, 'Impale him on it.' So they impaled Haman on the pole he had set up for Mordecai, and the king's fury subsided." So what ends up happening is Xerxes finds a way out. The way that he can revoke the law is say that Haman was trying to rape his wife. They take him away. They throw him on a pole. Back in those days, I feel like that. I can say I'm almost 40. I can say that now. Back in those days, We even went through it in our Bible Devo this morning. They didn't want to hang anyone, and so they had put this big pole outside, and they would impale you on it. They would throw you off, and just, I mean, it's Braveheart. You know how they have the horses coming, and they're like this, but instead they actually would put a pole up in the yard and throw people on it to impale them on. Like it was like a human kebab. Like that sounds awful, but like, you're not grilling today, I can tell. But like, it was a human kebab. They would throw them out. So in other words, think about this. How thankful can we be that we were in a time such as this today? Like, when you go by your neighbor's flagpole, imagine if that was like something somebody was going to be hurled on today. Imagine that Mother's Day gift, Mom, if you get me the wrong thing. You see that pole outside, kid, I tell you what. I would probably, every child would be wild, would listen to everything you have to say from that moment on. So what ends up happening is Haman says, I'm tired. Like, I can't believe Mordecai disrespects me. He goes home to his wife. He goes and gripes to her. And she says, well, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to the king and Queen Esther's banquet, this one that they're at right now. Tell the king that you're going to kill Mordecai on a pole you set up at your house. And it's the very pole he died on. So what do we look at this? What am I trying to say is what happens is right here what we have to understand is Haman placed his salvation in things of this earth. An earthly king, status, power, wealth. And the only thing in this earth, when we build our life around the earth, the only thing we build our life around is a grave. It's just the truth. A beginning and end date. That's it. That's a hard truth, but it's the truth. Beginning and end. That's it. That's what we build our life around. Because it will be what Haman does. Everything we build for ourselves in this life, we will be thrown upon because it will kill us. So think about that. The weight of that. The weight of that. But Esther herself in this moment in time, we in Christ are serving and worshiping and following in faith a God that created time itself. And the things that we're building right now aren't for this moment, but they're for eternity. Things that will not kill us, but instead will bring us the fullness of life Jesus came, died, and rose again to give us. So where are we at with all that? What I'm trying to say is where we are, if we understand this, parents, like I said, your child's salvation doesn't rest with you. But I hope that if nothing else, you find freedom today to know that they're God's child. Don't put it at each other and be like, they take after you. They're just like you. I can say this because please don't let the power go out. But my mom used to joke around and say, it's just like you were dug right out of their butt. Well, that's why I have GI issues, because I probably, apparently, she used to say crazy stuff like that, and I laugh because I say crazy stuff like that too. So in other words, for your child, God was a butt, apparently. I don't know that I was dug out of. Like, for your child, know they're God's child. Have freedom. Rest in that. Stop beating yourself up about the mistakes you make with your children. In the moment, in their teen years, they're going to remember all your mistakes. Trust me. Trust me. Like, your brain works overtime. 10 years, you know every mistake. Like, you know, that's just how it is your teen years, because you're trying to figure out who you are. But I promise you, as they get older, once they can get through those teen years, that's why God gave you trunks. You just lock them in until they're 20 and send them off to college. But, like, you got all this to go. When it happens there, that's why I'm not a parent. Y'all know. When it happens, parents, moms, stop beating yourself up. Don't beat yourself up about the decisions your child makes. Just love them. Just love them. Just be there, because that's what you want. Stop beating yourself up. And that's the freedom I want you to know today, is because, hey, Mordecai didn't beat himself up with the bad advice he gave Esther. He just said, hey, I trained you and I equipped you to hunger and thirst for the Lord. This is your moment. Step into it. And he still loved her. He still goes by the king's gate. He still works. He still does those things. So moms, what I want to tell you, stop beating yourself up today. Kids, know that your mom probably beats herself up about the one mistake she made today than the 10 good things she did for you today. Love them. Let them know that. Let them know that. Let them know you love them. Let them know you love them today. It's so important. And so, moms and dads, I just want you to have that freedom, because the other freedom is knowing that because your child's salvation isn't on you, there's some freedom to just love them right where they are. Imagine if you had to carry the weight of your child's salvation. How heavy would that be? It brings helicopter parenting to a new level. Like, every kid would be on a leash if that's the case, like, all the way through. You would never let your kid leave your sight. Never. They couldn't go to school. They couldn't do anything. But instead, resting, knowing that their salvation is on, you're going to point them to Jesus, but only Christ can save them. Man, you can love them right where they're at. When they tell you, when they're mad and angry at you because they're out past curfew, you can love them right where they're at, even if you got to discipline them. When they just got the job promotion, where you know they're chasing a career that's not their calling, you can love them right where they're at. You can love them right where they're at. That's the beauty of all of this, and that is where Esther is. Because, see, this book of Esther, the whole book of Esther, talks about God's sovereignty and our responsibility. So, like, God's sovereignty and our responsibility. So, God's sovereignty is moms. He has entrusted you to be a mother, but those are her children, and your responsibility is to raise them up in the way that they should go. Same as for our salvation. God loved us enough, he made a way for salvation because we, his child, could not save ourselves. So he made a way through Christ Jesus for us to be saved. Our responsibility is whether we will rest in the person and work of Jesus Christ by confessing and repenting of our sins and giving him lordship of our life. That's it. Plain and simple. God's sovereignty, our responsibility. It's kind of like if we went outside and I said, I need my oil to be changed, but I'm going to go pray about it. I just sat in the car. Lord will bring somebody on. I got the brake down too. I don't know how to. Oh, that's right. I can pull that to get the hood open. Like if you just sat and said, pray, 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 pray. Nothing wrong with prayer. Hear me out. Pray, 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 pray. Wait, 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 wait. Pray, 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 pray. Well, if that's the case, then we should be in heaven because if prayer is the only way, then there's no work for us here to do. So if you're all into leaning on one side, you're like, okay, well, I'm all into that. That's God's sovereignty. And then there's others like me who's hard-headed, and we roll into our responsibility and say, well, we're going to work. No, I can't do that at church. But all that to say, like, we work and say God will bless it. He's called me to this. I took the first step. Now I'm going to go take the other 10, and he better bless the other 10 whether he called me to it or not. That's the wrong end of the spectrum, too. So you say, oh, well, you're going to tell me today that we got to have balance. And I just want to tell you, look at me. I'm not balanced. No, I'm not going to talk to you about balance. Like, just know that. I'm not balanced. I'm not an Arnold Palmer, all right? I'm not a mix of tea, and it's never supposed to be 50-50. It's 60-40, probably. Like, if you got to know, you got to know, wherever you are. The difference is, and to walk in God's sovereignty and our responsibility is to walk in full surrender. That's what Esther does. She prayed and fasted for 3 days, and she stepped up where she was supposed to intercede for God's people. Parents, that's what you do raising your child. You pray for them. You do the best you can while they're under your roof, the best you can, and you send them off into this world to do fully what they were created to be. And all the way through, you get to love them. And that's the best thing in the world. That's the best thing in the world. Church, that's why we don't sit back and say, well, God will bring them in. If we build it, they will come. No, that's why we go out. We love our neighbor as ourselves. We do our best to love our neighbor as ourselves. We do all that we can to do that. We invite. We know that God's over it, but we invite. I don't just pray for my oil to be changed. I got to get in there and drain my transmission fluid, thinking it's my oil probably. Some crazy thing I'd probably do like that. Like, I don't do those things, right? There's some action required. And I say, well, if I can't do that, I'm going to get it to someone who can. I go get that done. God's sovereignty, our responsibility. I want us to see the difference in the request. Remember, the request was that Esther's people was saved. God's people, Esther, in this moment, outside of God's promise, out of the promised lands, disobedient because God said, hey, you're supposed to be in the promised land. She stayed behind. So she's in disobedience, outside of God's promise, yet God still works through her. Because we serve a king. We serve a king. We serve Jesus, who will call us our own in spite of us. Will call us his own in spite of us. We serve a king that will give his life for us in spite of us. We serve a king in Jesus that says, hey, my people will see my deliverance. We serve a king that's there. And so wherever you are right now, you may think you're so far outside of God's will, there's no way he could save you. You may think that there's no way that he could love you, that there's no way you could ever have a family. And I just want to remind you what I said a minute ago. God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children through Christ. There is a place and a family for you, because what Jesus does is what we can't do for ourselves. All of us are born into sin, and because of that sin, we deserve death. And you say, well, what is sin? Well, sin is just being outside of the will of God. Sin is this moment in time where it's all about us. It's all about us. Like, it would be like me expecting you to bring me gifts on Mother's Day. Like, what sense does that make? I'm not a mother. Sin is anything outside of the will of God. Sin is putting ourselves over God, putting something over God. Sin. We're born in it. If you don't believe it, have a two-year-old. Mine! Like, you know, have a two-year-old or a teenager. I don't know. Have one of those things. That's what it is, right? Like, there you are. Because of that sin, we deserve death. See, Jesus goes and, see, that sin made us not at right standing with God. He lives the perfect sinless life we couldn't live, making us righteous before God. So we have a way to have righteousness. He dies the death, paying the penalty for our sins on the cross. Therefore, now we're at right standing. All of a sudden, we're righteous before the Lord. We have someone who's gone before us, who's lived a perfect sinless life, who has now died for us. But he didn't stop there. He said, I have died so that you didn't stay in the tomb. I've died so that you can have life and have it to the full. So he rises again on the third day so that we could live out who we were fully created to be now. We don't have to wait. We can live it out now. And so for each and every one of us, that is where God's sovereignty and our responsibility collides together. And I just want to say the reason this matters, why we do what we do, is who is Jesus to you? Because if you keep building your life on your salvation, on the next car, on the next ride, on the next job, on the next thing, all you are doing is building the pole like Haman did that you will die on. That things of this earth will fade, and it will only lead to death. But the things of Christ will bring life because he has died for us. All of us fear death. All of us. Jesus has already conquered it. How freeing is that? That doesn't mean that I'm going to go Evel Knievel it, because I'll break a bone going to the bathroom in a minute, stumbling and fall with my clumsy tail. But Jesus has already done that for us. So, on the cross, God's full discipline, the full wrath of our sin, the full fury of God was on the cross. Full fury. Jesus bore it. Are you going to keep carrying it? If his full fury and full wrath was on the cross for us, why do we want to carry that burden? Why would we want to do that? When all we have to do is confess and repent of our sins, surrender lordship of our life to Christ, knowing that the person of work of Jesus Christ has completed what we could never complete. And we receive it and follow him step by step. That's all we have to do. So I want to remind you how much the Lord loves us. In John 3:16-17, he made a way to deliver us, this story of Esther, this intercession, this pleading on behalf of a people so that the promise of God could be fulfilled is what Jesus did for us. John 3:16, you know it. Most people will have signs for it. And 17 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting, some versions say, but this says, will have eternal life. This is what I want to remind you of, verse 17, especially today. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. There's a way. And the only way is through Jesus. And so why we do what we do every week is we get to celebrate mom today. Why we do what we do every week is the love of a mother that we celebrate today points to the love of Jesus. Points to the love of Jesus. It's unconditional. It's willing to sacrifice. It's willing to love even if it costs. And so today, I just want to ask you, who is Jesus to you? See, we're going to say a prayer here in a moment. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. You're going to confess and repent of your sins. You're going to surrender lordship of your life to Christ. We always pray it out loud as a family here together, because God doesn't have grandchildren. He has children. And in the house of God, there's a place for everyone. It's a place for all. It's a place where everyone has a place. But the reason we pray this prayer is to remind us of the faith we have if we were in Jesus. But some of us who are discovering him for the first time, it is for us to know that when we do this in faith, we will walk in full surrender to him, that all of a sudden we can be what we were created to be. We don't have to privately be that anymore. We don't have to do things behind closed doors as Esther did. We can be living fully known because we fully know Him. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask everyone to repeat this prayer out loud after me for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from You. I believe You came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserved on the cross for my sins, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow You step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if for the first time you have prayed that prayer in faith, for the first time, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. If that's you and you're in the house, would you raise your hand? If you're watching online, you may see a hand that's raised. If you're listening, you may not see a hand that's raised, but you can leave us a comment. We would love to celebrate this decision with you today. And for the rest of us, you could go ahead and look up. We're going to have a song of worship. I just pray as we have this song of worship, we would be reminded that Jesus is our salvation, that there's freedom in that, and that because of that love, we can worship and celebrate Him. So would you stand and sing? Thank you. So before you leave today, moms, this one has been previously bitten. Sorry. There's a rose, and there's a bag with nothing in it back there. But what'll happen is you can have some kids have fun. Open up a bag. There's a Bath and Body Works soap for you. All moms need some stress relief, so you may not ever light the candle, but you can sniff this thing like crazy, and it'll hopefully give you that. There's some candy over there. I think we have some cupcakes and all kinds of crazy, or what is it? What is it, Rube? What do we have over there? It's everything. She's looking at me. Okay, I'm not going to say that out loud because that sounds bad. But we have those over there, but we don't have those in our... Well, yeah, yeah, we background check everybody. I just want to let you know. So those things are over there. And make sure you get that on the way out. Happy Mother's Day. Thank y'all for hanging in here. I hope today has been an awesome day. And I hope today we can rest in the freedom that can come from Christ alone. Have a great week, and always remember, the best is still yet to come.